you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point, if you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Blessings to all. This is G. Craig Lewis here again with another True Church Perspective. And you can visit us here every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. You can catch us on your radio at Heaven 97 KHVN. That is 970 a.m. in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area, as well as streaming live on the internet at true-church.org. You can visit us at true-church.org and download our previous broadcast. There's a wealth of information there. You can download these broadcasts free of charge. And we'll continue to make these broadcasts free of charge as long as we can. People have donated monies and have actually sponsored our broadcast since we've been on the air. And I praise God for those that are faithful to send in their sponsorship, even without us calling their names. Many of them have requested that we do not call their names. And that is just a blessing. And we just love you for your hard work in getting this message out. That is why we provide the messages free of charge on the internet. So you can go download as many as you want, burn them to CD, listen to them, let them bless you, and it won't cost you a thing. We just ask that when you can, you support the True Church Perspective. And that information, you can go on the web and you can make a donation through PayPal, which is very safe. We've been using it for 10 years now, and it's very safe. You can go on there and make a donation that way, or you can mail the donation into our P.O. Box. It's P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124. You can send your donation in that way. So if God is leading you to be a blessing, just be a blessing, because we want to keep these broadcasts free. And we just thank God for another opportunity to come before you with A True Church Perspective. We've been dealing with the seven I Ams of God, and it's been very powerful. Our first week, we dealt with John 6:48, where he says, I am the bread of life. The next week, we dealt with John 8:12, where he says, I am the light of the world. The third week, we dealt with John 10:9, I am the door. Last week, we dealt with John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. And this week, we're going to be dealing with John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. Balance, practicality, all these things are very important in our walk with Christ. You know, some people are so spiritually minded until they're no earthly good. Some people are so earthly and carnal until they have no spiritual wealth. And so we need a balance, and that is what we want to bring you at the True Church Perspective. We want to bring balance to this because we know we are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. And that is God speaking of the balance of what is spiritual, what is natural, how to function in the earth, how to function in the spirit realm. We have to have that balance so that we can be effective for Christ. We cannot be one-sided about this thing, but there are two sides. There's another dimension we're operating in, as well as this earthly dimension. This is why Jesus spoke, the things I'm doing here on earth, he said, my Father is doing in heaven, meaning that the things I'm doing on earth are being done in another dimension. So he was speaking of the two worlds that he was operating in. And that's what we're doing. We're operating in two worlds. Everything we do, that's why I always say, everything you do in the natural has a spiritual consequence, and there is a natural consequence to what you do in the spirit. You got to remember this. And this is the whole point. You know, this is what really does away with the whole eternal security mindset. Now, listen to what I'm saying. It does away with that whole idea of trying to figure out all the sins you can commit and yet be saved. You know, it does away with that because that is such an immature understanding of what this thing is all about. What you do in the natural is going to have spiritual ramifications, and your spiritual workings, how you operate in the spirit realm, is going to affect what you do in the natural. You're going to be able to see it. You're going to be able to see the works of God that are manifested in the spirit realm. You're going to be able to see those manifestations many times in the natural. It may not be a miracle or different things like that, but a person's life will change once they come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, once he has resurrected them from being dead or dead works and brought them into the newness of life. You're going to see a difference. You're going to see a difference in their behavior, the way they talk, the way they act. And this is why it is so important that we understand what's going on in these dimensions, because I'm telling you, people that are getting saved now or claiming salvation or claiming Christ now, they're not really saved like the Bible says, but they have a new millennium salvation where they can keep the old man and walk around like the old man and claim that they have been changed. We see it on TV all the time. We see it. We just saw it on the Celebration of Gospel, Steve Harvey and others. You know, they're claiming salvation, but they're walking around acting like devils. Their language hasn't changed. Their lifestyle hasn't changed. Their desires haven't changed. Well, we know a true change is going to change those things. A true spiritual change, a true acceptance of God in that dimension will change the way you behave in this dimension. And you got to understand these to understand where we're going with this statement in John. This statement in John 11 and 25 that Jesus made about being the resurrection and the life, he was speaking twofold. He was using something that happened in our realm, in the earth, to be an example for something that can happen in the spirit. So this is Jesus operating and causing a spiritual act to be a natural act. And this is what he did. This whole story, the setup of this, John 11, it's talking about Lazarus, his friend. And Lazarus had died. You know, this is where we get the little short scripture. Jesus wept. He wept over his friend's death. But Jesus knew he was going to bring Lazarus back to life. And he told Martha, he said, Martha, your brother is going to live again. John 11 and 24 is where we're going to start. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of that last day. Now, Jesus heard that in 11 and 25 and said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? Or did you just hear what I said? Jesus is really being matter of fact here, because throughout his journey here on earth, and as he talked to people, people would quote scripture to Jesus. And this is the weird thing. They would quote scripture to Jesus as if Jesus wasn't there or Jesus wasn't the fulfillment of those scriptures. So Jesus wanted people to know, hey, what you're trying to do, here I am. This is when they said, you know, Jesus, you don't observe the Sabbath day. And Jesus is like, I am the Sabbath day. What are you talking about? I am the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is for me. What are you saying? I'm here. So instead of reverencing a day, you just reverence me. And this is what Jesus is trying to get people to realize. I am the fulfillment of the law. I am fulfillment of scripture. He's saying, I am resurrection. Not I'm going to perform a resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We're talking about twofold here. After death, you will continue to live. That's what he's saying. But then he's also saying on earth, you can live again. Now, this is what this miracle is going to signify here. It's going to signify that after Christ has come back, he's going to resurrect the dead. But in your natural life, you can be resurrected. He brought this forth to bring glory unto God. This particular miracle, he said it, it was to bring glory unto God. It was to glorify him. How was it going to glorify Christ? Because it was going to show you things to come. It was going to show you how Christ was going to give his life for all and raise us all from the dead. It's very very important that you understand the symbolism of this particular story. I love this story of Lazarus because there is some meat in this story, and we're about to get into some of this. Jesus began to walk up. He said, okay, now y'all move the stone. Martha was like, we can't move the stone. It's been 4 days. He already stinks. He's already decomposing. It's been 4 days. Jesus said, didn't I tell you? And this is the thing. Jesus is like, didn't I tell you that I'm the resurrection and the life? I mean, I thought you said you believed it. And so he said, y'all just move the stone away. Y'all listen to me. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm not about to perform a miracle. I'm just about to be a miracle. I'm a walking, breathing, talking, and teaching miracle. And this is what people couldn't understand. And this is what a lot of Christians, this is what a lot of us don't understand about Christ. Christ is not a badge that you wear. He lives inside of you. So the life that he is, the life that he gives, you partake of it. These people were still externalizing Christ and they weren't internalizing. And this is what Christ wanted them to do. I want you to understand the stuff you see me doing is not stuff I'm doing outside of me, but these things are inside of me, because if you understand that the resurrection and life is inside of me, you'll understand how it can be inside of you. And so Jesus first said we need to move the stone, meaning move the stronghold that had Lazarus. This is the breaking of the power of death. The power of death was holding Lazarus. It was like it was holding him captive. It was holding his body in there. This big stone blocking. Now, many of us, if you use symbolism here, you'll understand that the rock symbolized the power of death. Jesus said, move the rock. In other words, move it so I can bring forth life. He's saying the same thing about us all, even in our lives. Move the stone, the blockage, the stronghold that's in your life so you can have eternal life. Hebrews 2 and 14 says, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death. Who is that? That is the devil or Satan. So this is Jesus coming to break the power of death. And he first says, move the stone. Now, moving the stone exposed Lazarus. It exposed his condition. He was decomposing. He was stinking. That represents sin and death. Moving the stone exposed that sin and death. Now, understand, you must expose your sin to be free from your sin. Jesus said, you got to confess your sin. You got to confess your sin to God to be free from your sin. You have to admit you are in sin to be freed from sin. You come to Christ for salvation, you must first confess your sin and you must admit that you have sin. This is what moving this rock or this stronghold really did. It exposed Lazarus the way he was. He had a condition. What was his condition? It was death. He was decomposing, but the rock was blocking it. The second thing he did, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, what was he doing? He was speaking unto that which was dead and telling it to live again. And he was calling forth the new man Lazarus from the old man. In other words, that decomposed body, that old man that was dead, he, with the power of resurrection and life, is calling him forth to give him new life. It's the same thing with us. We are called and drawn by the power of God, not the carnal tools of men. It's the Spirit of God that draws us. So the Spirit of the living God that operated through Christ, he called his name and he came forth. Now, this is important even with what we do with hip hop and music and entertainment and different things. A lot of people get bright ideas and they say, you know what? I'm going to use this to draw people to Christ. And the scripture is telling us, even in John 6 and 44, it says, no man come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So that particular scripture is telling you, no man cometh unless the Spirit draws him forth. So Jesus didn't tell the band to play while he was doing this. He didn't say, okay, move the stone. Now y'all play some music that Lazarus liked and he'll come out. Or y'all play some hip hop or something and it's going to draw him and make him peek around the corner of the tomb and say, "Ooh, what they plant?" It's nothing like that. The power of God is what drew him. The power of resurrection and life that operated through Christ is what drew him or brought him forth. He called him by name. God doesn't want us with all of these gimmicks and schemes. No, God wants to call them by name. He called him by name. Lazarus, you come forth. In other words, I'm calling you. You were dead, but you live again. I'm bringing you forth out of death into a new life. I'm drawing you by my spirit. And this is what Christ does for us when we are in our sin, when we don't know him, when we're not a child of God. He calls you by name. He brings you forth so that you can be saved, delivered, and set free from your sin. But he does it by name because he wants to identify you as the one that he is reaching out to. And then the third thing that Christ did when Lazarus came forth, Lazarus walked forth, but he was covered in the old garments. He was still bound and he had his face covered with a napkin so he couldn't be seen. Now, Jesus at this point said, okay, loose him and then let him go. In other words, Jesus is commanding that he be bound no more. This is powerful, y'all. He's saying that the old way is gone. This is the power of resurrection. We can live a new and clean life before God. We don't have to wear the old grave clothes. We don't have to be bound anymore. We don't have to hide our face. But God, with the power of resurrection, he's bringing us forth as a new creation. And this is what this was all symbolic of. So he says, move the stone, which is the block. It's holding you in to that dead situation. Then he says, come forth, and called him by name. And then lastly, he said, now loose him, let him go. In other words, be free in the name of Jesus. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So he's saying that you were once entangled. If he's saying be not entangled again, he's saying you were once entangled with a yoke of bondage. He's saying don't be entangled. Don't put those grave clothes on anymore. Don't bind yourself anymore. Don't cover your head with the napkin anymore. You're no longer dead. This is very important that you understand what all of this represents, because it's the resurrection and the life that brings forth more life. In other words, when Lazarus came forth and he was brought forth as a new creation, the Spirit of the Lord began to work right then through that miracle. John 11:45 says, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. So now this is the key to unlocking that spirit, the resurrection and the life. Now listen, when we're resurrected from our dead man or the old man, and we're brought forth as a new man, when the stone is rolled away, when he calls us by name, and when we take off the old clothes and no longer bound, and we are exposed as a righteous being, these particular things bring forth resurrection and life in our midst. So it doesn't take music to do it. It doesn't take entertainment to do it. It doesn't take a gimmick or a scheme to do it. The Spirit of the Lord does it. And when the Spirit of the Lord through resurrection and life is in operation, it brings forth resurrection and life. Understand, the change in you changes others. Your resurrection can resurrect many. Now, this is why it's so important that we live right and practice righteousness. Jesus calls Lazarus' name so that the other dead would not rise. And you heard the old folks say this, which I always love. If he had just said, come forth, everybody would have got out the grave, but he had to be specific. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And by bringing forth Lazarus, the Bible tells us in John 11 that many came to Mary and were converted or believed on Jesus because of what they saw. It was the Spirit of the Lord in operation in Christ that brought forth the spirit of resurrection and life, and many began to be saved. But your resurrection can cause many to rise. It's important that you understand, when Christ saves you and sets you free, others will desire what you have. The spirit of resurrection and life that came into you can draw others, because people are drawn by what? The Spirit of the living God. When you die to your sin, that death brings life, not only in you, but in those that know you or see you or are around you. When you die to sin and die to that old man and you're born again and you live again, it brings forth life. So the power of resurrection and life that's operated in you is the power to bring forth others, that same spirit that operated in Christ to bring forth Lazarus can do what? Bring forth lives from your life. So the way you live, the way you operate, when the power of God is operating in you, resurrection and life. Oh, listen to me. Resurrection and life is operating in you. So when you speak, family members and friends and workers and co-workers and different ones that know you and see you, they will desire to be changed if they see the change in you. It's important that we see change. Now, please, people, listen to me. This is why we as Christians and believers can't live any kind of way. We can't operate any kind of way. We can't just, you know, talk and walk any kind of way. But we have to exhibit what the power of God has done for us to bring forth others, because others are brought forth by the Spirit that changed us. But if you haven't been changed, then how can you bring forth others to change? You know, the Holy Spirit spoke something to me about a month ago. He said, weak or carnal Christians beget arrogant sinners. Now listen, this is when you're weak, when you cuss and talk crazy and live any kind of old way and claim to be a Christian, the sinners around you get arrogant about how they're living. This is why we have the problem with Steve Harvey and these others that get up before Christians and say, you just like me, and we all the same, and we all this and that. And they get real arrogant in their sin because the Christians that they're exposed to are carnal. And when they're exposed to carnal Christians, this is what we saw on the Monique show and different ones, you know, they talk crazy around Christians and cuss, and they have no respect for those particular Christians, not all of them. Now, some of the Christians they do respect. When they see the power of God actually operating in them, they will respect them. But they have a disrespect for the carnal or weak Christian, especially the opportunist just looking for opportunity to be famous and get on stage or get on TV. They have no respect for them because the Christian is carnal or weak. That makes them arrogant as a sinner, and they start believing, I'm just like you, and I have what you have, and God loves us all, and and they start talking like that because the Christians that they're dealing with are weak and carnal. Well, this is detrimental to your whole walk. The holiness part of it is to draw others. The holiness part is so that the Spirit of God can operate through you. It can't operate through you if the spirit of death, darkness, sin, and lust is operating through you. If those spirits are operating through you, you already occupied. You already got a job. So if you're full of lust and sin, you can't be filled with the Spirit of God. And if you're not filled with the Spirit of God, you're not going to draw men unto God, because it takes the Spirit of God to draw men. So there's no resurrection and life in you if death and sin is operating through you. Listen to me, people of God. This is why we have to live holy and righteous before God, so that we can be used of God to bring forth and resurrect those dead lives and have the resurrection power of God operating through us, so we can destroy the works of Satan, sin, and death, and bring forth life, new fruit in those that will believe. When Jesus died, listen to this, the dead came forth in his resurrection. Now the Bible says when he gave up the ghost in Matthew 27:52, when he gave up the ghost, it said that the graves opened up and the bodies of the saints that were dead begin to walk around and go into the land and talk to people. Now, this is the part nobody talks about, but this is insanity when it comes to our human minds, because we can't even understand how Jesus died and his death was so impactful. There's so much resurrection and life in him. The dead begin to come out of the graves and go testify to people. What was that? Did y'all hear that? Did y'all see that, folks? Like, Grandmama, what you doing here? I mean, people were probably going crazy. Folks showing up for work. It's like, hey, man, I thought you died. But anyway, there was so much resurrection and life in Jesus until when he gave it up, it went into the ground and brought forth everybody that believed in him. And this is the power that he's given us. Oh, I wish you'd hear me. This is the power that he's given us. It is the power of resurrection and life. So when we speak, when we preach unto the glory of God, when we do things unto God's glory, and that Spirit operates in us, we are powerful. We have the power of resurrection. and life. And this is why the devil fights us, y'all. He fights you to keep sin in your life. He fights to keep lust and perversion in your life. He fights to keep you down in darkness, because he knows if you ever tap into the resurrection and life, many will come to Christ. Those that will sacrifice their life on earth for the things of God and the kingdom of God. Those that will seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't you understand that resurrection and life will operate through you just like it did Christ? He said he is the resurrection and life, and if he is in us and we be in him, we have the same power to bring forth life. Not just bringing forth physically dead people, but bringing forth spiritually dead people, so that they can come forth, walk around, and testify of how the power of the resurrection has come into their life, and tell folks, God has changed me. He's taken off my grave clothes. He's unbound my arms and my feet. He's taken the napkin off my face. I'm no longer dead, but now I am alive, because the resurrection and life of Jesus Christ abideth in me. Come on, let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for this message, God. I thank you that you gave us the resurrection and the life. You gave us that power. Thank you for me being resurrected and many others. We were resurrected from dead works. We are resurrected. You roll that stone, that stronghold away, that thing that kept us bound, whatever it was. Some of us, that a molestation and rape and different things, but that rock was moved away and exposed us, God, so that you could deal with us. You called us forth by name, and then you removed the old man off of us, and you freed us and made us brand new with resurrection and life. And for that, God, we say thank you. And I pray, God, that many, those that hear this message, Father, that they will practice righteousness daily, and they will take off the old man, the sin and the shame behind that rock. Father, that they will live a life pleasing unto you, so your resurrection and life power can operate through them to bring many to the knowledge of the truth, bring many to the knowledge of you, to resurrect them, God, so that their graves can open up and they can come forth and testify to the world of what you did. God, I pray in Jesus' name. And we'll be back next week with another True Church Perspective.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Visit us at truth-church.org or at exministries.com. If you desire to support this ministry with your donations, please send them to P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at truth-church.org.